Podtacular number 310, submission show for the week of September 11th, 2012.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
Yay, Brent's back!
Yay!
It's been, regularly, since you were on, it's been almost a year now.
Yeah, so, or more than a year, actually, yeah. So,
53 episodes ago, so I guess if you take that on a weekly basis, even though we haven't been doing shows weekly, yeah, that's a year and a week. So, not that bad. But you were also on our 307-year anniversary show, so that was a lot of fun, too.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. You can hear this phone ringing in the background. I'm sorry about that.
I can.
Here, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of it.
You gonna throw it out the window? I'm just waiting for some explosion to go off in the background.
You can tell we're already off to a great start. It's going to be a great episode. I can feel it.
That just reminds me of that one time. I don't know if you listened to the Drunk Tank or Now It's the Rooster Teeth podcast, but remember that one time when Bernie was like, get rid of the goddamn phones?
I think I remember it. Was it one of the earlier ones?
Yeah, it was one of the earlier ones.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You can still hear it. Wait a minute.
Oh, I can't hear it.
Okay, maybe now we can record uninterrupted.
I couldn't hear it before, so you were perfectly fine.
All right. Well,
so, yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
But yes, Brent is back.
Back in the saddle again.
Yay. The sexy radio man voice is back in his proper
JVD's
place.
That's JVD's job.
I don't know. You two kind of are really close.
But, I mean, he has the substance to put behind it. You know, it's one thing to have a voice, but it's another thing to have something to say with that voice.
I don't know. I kind of like yours better. Maybe I'm biased, though, because I was never co-host with JVB. But yeah. I don't know. I think the times have changed. I think yours is up to the challenge for JVB.
It's evolving over time.
Dude, just keep it the way it is. It's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got a great voice, too. So don't try to...
If you say so, I don't think so, but...
You underestimate the power of your own voice, Dust.
Maybe the words that come in my mouth are meaningful, but my actual voice, the sound of my voice, I may have to disagree.
Yes, your voice can rouse the masses.
Okay, I don't know I'm not sure if I want to know how that goes, yeah, so if you guys haven't noticed, my throat is not doing too well. My voice is kind of out of whack this week. But hopefully the next time we record, my voice will be back in tip-top shape. So it can be, as Brent thinks it is, even more awesome.
Even more rousing.
Even more rousing. Yes, even more rousing for the ladies. Anyways, so... Brent, do you want to give us a little update on what you think about all the Halo 4 goodies that have come out over the past, 3 months? Yeah.
E3, yeah.
Comic-Con, PAX.
What would you consider, the biggest piece of news? I'll just start there.
So, since we, we had you on the anniversary, so that was after E3. So let's talk about some of the stuff that we saw at RTX, Comic-Con, and PAX. So starting off at RTX, we saw some of the Forge stuff. Did you watch any of that?
No, but I had heard of
all right,
some of the Forge changes. I don't know. All I remember is Daft got mad because BS Angel said something lewd.
Oh.
I don't even remember what
it
was.
It wasn't necessarily something lewd. It was just, I guess depending on how you look at it, it could be, but it's just how BS Angel acts on stage. So, it's just
stage
your personality.
Presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just your personality. I don't think he likes too much. But,
what are the big changes with Forge?
We don't know much at the moment, but what they showed off was a couple of cool kind of editing features. So, we now have the ability to undo stuff.
Okay, that sounds cool.
So that's a big one. Yeah. Another big one is the ability to snap objects together. So there's basically joining points on each one. So if you're like making a bridge,
yeah,
you can have all the flat pieces out and there's a snap too, and it'll just snap to the edges. So it's actually straight and you don't have to worry about going and meticulously moving stuff.
Right. So Halo Legos.
Yeah. Yeah. Halo Legos. You can lock forge objects in place. So, whenever you go around editing stuff and you try to like maybe delete something, if it's locked, it won't delete. So.
Well, that's cool. So I remember it sucked, you know, trying to delete a tiny little weapon or something.
Or a spawn point, yeah.
Yeah.
on top of that, though, whenever you're on an object or you're, like, in the position where you're selecting it, it now glows. So if it, whatever object you have currently that's being selected, it glows green. So you now now know what object you're selecting whenever you're in Forge.
So now it's visible as
yes.
well as you can lock it and undo any mistake you make.
Correct.
So that's going to expedite the process of making Forge maps.
And probably get rid of some of the pain and suffering that a lot of people have to deal with.
Oh, yeah. It's like you work on a map and make like a huge mistake or something. You're like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, it's like if you delete a floor, like especially if you're making a sky map and you have stuff like resting on the floor. If you actually delete a floor and then everything falls, it's like, oh, great.
Fantastic.
And if you forget to save, then it's like, oh, well, that sucks. Let's see, what else? There's now dynamic shadows. So whenever you're in editing mode, it has, like, the global lighting, like, how it's been in every other Halo game. Wow, my voice is starting to die. but now when you're actually in-game, the game actually casts shadows that's from the forge objects. So if you have a base or something, it actually casts shadows on other objects and the terrain around it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's going to kind of really enhance machinima.
Yeah. It'll even give the maps that you're playing on a more authentic feel, mm-hmm. you know? It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like it's just... And because the forge maps always kind of felt like... I don't know how to explain it, really. Not fake, but just completely yeah. different from the maps that they had made them, that like Bungie had made themselves.
Right.
Like you could tell the difference. Like, mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the things is that, you know how whenever you're like in an enclosed space in like Forge World or something, and it's like all the lighting's the same, you can see perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's like, so now we'll have, and they really didn't demo this enough to really make it to where we can tell. So I don't know if the shadows are like statically generated. It's like, okay, it does the shape and then it casts the same shadow. Or perhaps if you have like a really, really enclosed space, if there's like very minimal light. So I'm wondering how quote unquote dynamic the lighting actually is.
Yeah.
So.
but it definitely sounds like it's going to be more atmospheric at least.
Mm-hmm. Looks a lot prettier.
Did they say anything about like machinima features? I heard that there was definitely going to be a feature where you could put your gun down even while you're on live. Isn't that right?
They didn't say whether or not it's on live, but Frankie did say that you can put your weapon down.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like a key feature.
Yeah, it's like
they couldn't not put that in.
It's a very pivotal thing now for Halo. Is the ability to do machinima. And it's good to see that they're really supporting communities in that regard, is that they're they've taken a lot of feedback. I don't know if you know, but they announced Griffball. So Griffball is actually its own official game type.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And it has the scoring system's a bit different now. It's actually an oddball that they use, and whenever you score it, it resets to the middle. No, it's not a big explosion. So it's as Frankie put it, it legitimized the use of Griffball in Halo. So that was one of the cool things to see at PAX. But going back to Forge, there's also the player trait zones. So you can put down little zones like you would for like a respawn point or a capture area. And you can now alter base player traits. So you can alter gravity, you can alter color, you can alter invincibility. And probably a lot of other things that you could do in like custom game types, but there are those kind of fields now, which is going to make some other game types really interesting.
Yeah. Just it's going to be interesting to see what people can do with it. I just hope that people actually use it. Because it always feels like there's all of these Forge features, and they keep adding stuff to custom features and custom game types.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, I over the past...
Sorry, go ahead. No, you go first.
Oh, no, I was just thinking, like, out of Halo 3, we got Griffball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the big kind of custom... Out of Halo 2, we got Infection, you know, zombies. Mm-hmm. That was Halo 2. You know, but I mean, think back. Did we really get anything out of Halo Reach as far as like a big custom game type that was made during the peak popularity of that game?
I think Reach's bigger problem was the fact that you were centered around Forge World.
Yeah,
I think the ability for making it. Yeah, there's a lot more additions to it. Some people argue that with all the extra features that they added to Forge, it's a lot easier to make it, so there's a lot more lower quality maps out there. But at the same time, being somewhat limited to Forge World and not having to have as, I guess, creative as mind to Forge stuff, it really put a damper on the creativity that people had. But to counteract that, one of the things that they announced at RTX was that there's going to be three different forging environments. So the one that we saw at RTX was the Forerunner-based one, and I'm assuming we're going to have a human-based one and a Covenant-based one.
Okay, so
there are different forging environments in Halo 4, which I think is going to be a big plus to having different kind of environments to play around with and make good custom maps.
Yeah, everything doesn't look like huge, you know, metal walls, all gray.
Right.
I remember that was my big problem with Forge World. Just everything looked exactly the same.
Yeah. That was a lot of people's problem. And, like, in Halo 3, yeah, for Foundry, you had the brown, and the Sandtrap, you had kind of the tannish yellow, light brown stuff.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't like a dull gray. So, I mean, take it for what you will. There are some really good maps in Reach, and there's some really fun game types, but I don't think they're definitely not as easy to find or not as popular in Halo Reach as they were in Halo 3.
Yeah. I'm just hoping with Halo 4 it's a marked return to custom game types and custom maps being really popular.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure.
Well, I think 343 is looking for a whole rejuvenation of just about everything in the game. Forge, custom games, even campaign. It's like they're really trying to make it to where Halo 4 is. I mean, it's the first game of a new trilogy. They're trying to make it as close to the popularity of Halo 1 as possible. And they're doing a pretty good job with it.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think we've seen the big marketing sweep yet that they've got planned.
No, once October hits and we have the Forward Unto Dawn stuff coming out, which is in less than a month, by the way. Hurrah for that. Then we're going to start seeing a lot of promotional push for Halo 4.
Oh yeah, it's going to be everywhere. It's billboards, be great. Television, internet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on front of all of your YouTube videos.
Yeah, indeed it is.
Well, maybe.
I actually have a little gadget on my desktop, and I have it counting down to the release date of Halo 4, and it says 55 days. So we are literally 8 weeks out.
Yeah, it's close.
It's very close.
It's not close enough you can feel the hype, really. But mm-hmm. pretty soon, I think once you get about 30 days out, that's when the hype train's going to just burst through. You're going to feel it. You're going to be like, yeah, Halo 4, baby!
Yeah, and a lot of people are really thrilled for it.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that was kind of, in a lot of people's minds, really pivotal for Halo 4 was the announcements at E3 actually brought back a positive experience to the Waypoint forums. So yeah. I don't know how often you go to the forums, or
I don't.
How often our listeners go there. But there's a lot of people that go on there and rage about stuff. Why people, like, they shouldn't have brought the DMR into the game and blah, 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 blah. So and it's very similar to the Bungie forums where there's just a lot of hate and all that stuff. It's just the communal place for people to come and hate on the game.
Well, because that's the developer's site, right? If you're going to hate on it, you might as well hate to the developer.
Yeah.
As messed up as, I mean, as a general rule, I just stay off of the official forums for any game.
Hmm.
You know, I like the communities that form themselves are generally made up of more reasonable, you know, interesting people to talk to. Whereas the official forums, you know, any idiot can type in halo.com and it's going to pull up Waypoint and then they can go register on those forums. I mean, it takes work to actually find it takes a little bit of work to find a dedicated fan site and then get into that community and, you know, gain enough trust to where people start really talking to you and stuff like that. So I just stay away from official forums.
Yeah. But apparently it drove a really positive influence. So a lot of people came back and were really happy in what they saw at
E3. Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
If they can have people in the Waypoint forums applauding 343 about the stuff they show, you know that they're doing a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
So kudos to 343. I have a beef with a few things, but in Halo 4 as a whole, I'm really looking forward to it.
We'll go over those beefs. I mean, just get those out of the way.
So, a couple of beefs I have is, one for the specializations that you can get, and this was, I think, a month ago? Yeah, about a month ago, they revealed the specializations that you can basically enlist in after you get to your EXP Spartan rank level 50, EXP-based rank 50, and some of the helmets in there just look really, really weird.
Yeah, some of the armor I've seen just in general looks kind of strange.
Yes,
just
very like strange.
Just aesthetically different from anything else we've seen in Halo, really. I associate like Spartan armor with, you know, sharp corners kind of and
rigid corners.
Yeah. I don't know.
But with these it's like there's really funky designs and it's like
it looks like ground armor kind of.
It's like how, the ground
armor
people
from Reach.
A little bit. It's like for some of the helmets, it's just like, how do you see out of the thing? I mean, one of them is a vertical strip.
It's a vertical strip that pulls in direct video feed that is, you know, it goes directly into the Spartan's brain, Dustin.
I guess, but it's like it's a helmet with a visor.
I hope somebody comes up with like crazy stories for every single piece of armor. We need to like
They probably have them. They'll probably be in like a game guide of some kind.
We need to find some like dedicated fanfic writers that like know a whole bunch about the universe.
Well, I mean,
get those guys and be like.
So they have some for the ones that are built by Lethbridge Industrial, which is actually a shout out to the community Ready Up Live, which is where Green Skull resides. And they honored him with that because he was the first one to actually spot the jetpack on actually the Xbox product listing for Halo 4. So they basically made the what's the word I'm looking for? The makers of some of the armor from Lethbridge, which is from where they are. So it's a cool homage to them, but they have some descriptions up there on for their armor. So I'm assuming that they're going to have descriptions for all the armor in the game.
Yeah. But
some of them is just like, okay, if your armor suit power gets knocked out, you won't be able to see anything. And it's like, whenever you think of Master Chief and the visor, it's the visor is it's semi-transparent, so you can actually see through it. It doesn't have to be powered on or anything in order to be able to see through it. It's just a pane for HUD information to be displayed. And for some of these others, it's like, well, you completely take away that feature, and now it's like, okay, now you're just probably looking at a video screen, which I guess it's more Iron Man-like, I guess.
Yeah, but it's cooler.
It's just weird. It just feels really weird.
Yeah. But I mean, a large variety of armor types and aesthetics is kind of, I wanted that for Halo 4. It's just I haven't seen a whole bunch of armor sets that I just really, really love. Now, some of them look cool, you know.
So, well, I mean, so the base ones that come with the game, most of them look all right. Most of them I can dig. They make a lot of sense, and they're fine. But the ones in the specialization classes are just really... It's like, why'd you design those? Was this just like someone's artist's weird concept of a helmet? It's like, okay, we can throw this in this little special section. Because that's what it feels like, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, that's my first beef. My second beef with the game is, and this may just be me because I've talked to others, and it's like they really don't care or they don't think so. But the weapon sounds in Halo 4 really sound shallow in the sense that they're... it's hard to really describe in terms of sound, but the sounds seem a lot more simplistic compared to Halo 3 and Halo Reach's counterparts. So, for example, for the Halo 3 battle rifle, it sounded a lot more mechanical. Like you could actually hear the bolt push coming back and ejecting shells and all that stuff. Where in Halo 4, it's either really quiet or I couldn't hear because of all the people there, or all you hear is just like this thump, 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 thump. And it's really quiet, very sound suppressing compared to the other sounds, which feel very bulky and complex. So it seems like the sounds for a majority of the weapons lack attitude and depth.
They like that oomph.
The oomph.
That oomph. You want it.
Yes. They like the oomph.
What was your favorite weapon sound from the first, the three Halos? Yeah. Not Halo Reach.
Favorite weapon sound?
Yes. Ooh. Like, what was your favorite, like, weapon to shoot because you love that sound?
That's a good question. I've never been asked that question. Do you have one? I'm still thinking.
I think for me, I really enjoyed the sound of the Spartan laser charging up. I don't know why. I just like that.
Halo 3 or Halo Reach?
Halo 3. Spartan laser was in Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
Halo Reach.
I would agree. The Halo 3 one sound. Yeah, it is a little different, but
yeah,
the Halo 3 one, I would agree. I don't know. It's a tie between the shotgun and the rockets for me on Halo 3.
Rockets have always had kind of a iconic sound.
Mm-hmm.
Get that nice
It's gone in Halo 4. It doesn't sound nearly as powerful.
I haven't heard it yet, so I can't comment.
But... Yeah, there's plenty of gameplay videos out there. I'm sure if you might be able to find one with some rocket sounds. But yeah, I'm going to say rockets from Halo 3. Because you can just hear the rocket coming. It's like, oh, I'm screwed. And then you have that big explosion. It's like very satisfying. It's like, yeah, I just got you.
Like this huge chunk of metal is propelling itself with gas towards me. So
high round explosive, and there is no escape from it. And it's like I got you in my sights, and you're down. Because I'm really good with rockets for some reason. It's like, put rockets in my hand, I can work magic. Put a sniper or a BR in my hand, not so much.
Yeah, I can't snipe for beans. Mm-hmm. I really can't. If you said, Brent, we're going to kill the three people you love the most if you don't snipe this dude in the head from 1,000 yards out, I'd be like, nope, can't do it.
Walk away.
You're just going to have to kill him now.
Just walk away. But... Yeah, I'll go with the rockets, but yeah, those are my two beefs with Halo 4 so far, is those weird armor sets and the weapon sounds. So they also announced the Halo 4 limited edition console at Comic-Con.
Now, I saw pictures of it, and I heard that it had like it had a different kind of sound, because I didn't even know that the limited edition consoles like had any sound that were attached to, like, the, you know, the eject button and the power on button and stuff like that.
Yeah, all of them have their own custom sounds.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until I had heard about it from, I don't even remember where I heard it. It was on some podcast or something, but
it was on
this
our
one
podcast.
Has like Forerunner sounds or, yeah.
Forerunner sounds. Cool. It was on our podcast.
Yeah. Maybe I heard it from yours.
Maybe you heard it from us.
Maybe it was that one.
Maybe. They also, so the limited edition console comes with the console, two controllers. Did it come with a headset? I think it may have come with a wireless headset. And a copy of the game, of course. And then there's a limited edition controller, which is semi, well, it was just a separate, it's UNSC. And all the console stuff, it's all blue, semi-clear plastic, so you can actually kind of see the innards of the Xbox and the controllers.
Now, that's
and
cool.
It's also the power buttons and the buttons on the controller are blue. The lights are blue instead of green. So these are this is the first console and controller set to have different color LEDs for power. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Daff said he's on, so we're going to get him in here.
Man.
So.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it right now.
It's sweet, isn't it? So, but yeah, the console looks really sweet. And for the most part, well, I already bought it, so I'm a little biased. Actually, the day they announced it, I went on Amazon and pre-ordered it. So I bought, and they also announced the limited edition as well. Well, actually, they announced that way before then. But so I've pre-ordered the console and the limited edition. And I've also, I don't know if you've seen, like, the personal gaming environments, the ones that are made by Games, G-A-E-M-S. And there's actually a Halo 4-themed one that's going for $350. It has a place where you can put your Xbox in there, a couple controllers, the power stuff, and it has a built-in 19-inch LCD screen in there. So you can basically put your Xbox in there and carry it wherever you want. So, I'm tempted to get one of those. I'm not sure if I'm going to. If I got that, I'd have to go for the full package and get the Halo 4 Tritons that they have, and that would be spending about $1,000 on Halo 4.
Well, it sounds like a good device for, like, back alley Halo playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wanted to bet on Halo matches, like, starting a legal gambling ring.
The funny thing, I was talking to Naked Eli, because we were basically rooming together over PAX. It's like, take that to a Halo 4 launch party and basically just be playing Reach outside. So as long as you had a power thing and if you went to a midnight launch somewhere, you can basically be playing Halo until Halo 4 comes out.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Reach is fun, but the second that Halo 4 comes out, they'll be gone. They will just dash from the Halo Reach station.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was. Well, that's mostly how it was for Halo 3 to Reach, but I think
Halo 3 is actually going to have a stronger legacy than Reach, honestly.
It will. It will.
I wouldn't be surprised if it surpasses Reach in the charts, you know?
Simply because a lot more of the core Halo players are kind of adept to Halo 3.
Yeah.
And Halo Reach definitely has a lot more larger player base, but the player base is mostly driven by casual players for Halo Reach, and once Halo 4 comes out, they're going to be transitioning to that. So, there's still a lot of people that play Halo 3 right now, but Halo 4 is going to come out, and you're going to see a lot of the casual players go, and I think you're going to see a lot of the remaining Halo 3 players transition over to Halo 4.
Well, I hope so. I mean, if you're still playing Halo 3 this long, you might want to pick up Halo 4 just to see if you like it.
Well,
you know?
People are still playing Halo 3.
If you still care about Halo that much, that you will play how old is it now? Like 5 years?
2007, so yeah.
Yeah, so if you're still playing a 5-year-old game to this day, and there has even been a newer game in the franchise, and you're not playing that one, like, you might want to look into getting into Halo 4.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a completely different experience than Reach.
Well, and it seems like Halo 4 was built more on the experience of how Halo 3 was, and they took some of the aspects from Reach, and they took a lot of the baseline from Halo 3, and they're kind of mixing that together and then adding some new stuff to it.
But that's another thing, is like a lot of the new stuff seems like it's catered to casuals. So, I mean, who are they shooting for?
Casuals.
Well, so that's an interesting point, because 343 actually brought in a lot of pros. Like, they flew up, I want to say, I don't know, 24 or so pros, and they beta tested the game for like a week at the studio. So the pro players are definitely involved. They're trying to give pro players the tools that they need. And it's probably a lot more related to custom games, and the matchmaking is going to be a lot more casual, except for like the pro playlists or the ranked ones. So I think we're definitely going to see a lot bigger of a casual audience, but from the professional and the competitive side of things, they're going to have the tools that they need in order to really tailor the experience to how they want to play. So a couple of other things that came out of, we covered Comic-Con, we covered RTX. So PAX was the CTF stuff and then the Halo 4 Reborn panel.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of the making of video, the 10-minute long thing that they showed off at the panel?
I liked it. When they started talking about like the Chief and the way he's evolving to become more, they're like writing up his humanity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the past games, he's just, you know, the one line, you know, badass that he says something when it's appropriately cool and that's it. You know, I mean, but
right.
They're really trying to play up his humanity and his relationship with Cortana, which I thought was not strange, but I get the feeling that there's a group of people who play Halo who don't want that. You know, I mean, they're not the kind of people I would generally play with, but they view the Chief as more of he's the silent badass. I mean, that's what the Chief has traditionally been.
More or less.
And I mean, they've also shown his, you know, kind of his soft side, you know, going into, you know, High Charity when it looks like a huge, you know, infected boil and that entire, see, I'm the only one who actually enjoyed that level as far as just the aesthetics of it, because it was just so gross and creepy. I mean, gameplay aside, the flood was you know, awful in
that just
level.
It was just a little long for my taste.
Yeah, yeah.
If they cut that level up, like, in half,
yeah,
I think it would have been a lot easier to manage.
Less gameplay and... Go ahead.
The absolute worst part that I level on Legendary were, like, when you go in those, like, kind of like very tall vertical rooms where you had to kind of go like winding around the sides to go upwards, and there'd be those like needle shooting things on the walls everywhere.
Oh yeah, the needler flood.
Yeah,
they got like needles just, on their back, and
yeah,
they
just,
like,
yeah, just like I'll sniping you with them almost, like yeah, just like nonstop, yeah.
Flood porcupines.
That was the worst.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
In the Cortana level. You get to parts.
Oh, Halo 3. Okay.
Halo 3. You get to parts and level.
I thought
where
we were still on
like,
Halo 2.
Yeah. No. All
right. I know what you're talking about now.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a vertical.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, those things suck. The pure forms sucked in Halo 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're definitely going, and from someone who's read the books and reading the books, and I think the people that are really attached to the campaign are. You're going to be really satisfied by some of the stuff that we're going to see, because there's a lot more tie into the books now, where from the rest of the Halo games there really wasn't any direct connection. But now with how they're making Halo 4 out there, and they're going through Cortana's rampancy and really bringing out Chief's character, I think they're doing a really good job on kind of exploring the story behind who Chief is and how that relationship really is kind of really pivotal in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, I'm excited to see what they do for it.
Oh yeah, I'm excited, because personally, you know, you give me more story, I'm fine with it.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a group of people out there, and I don't know who these people are, but like the dude bros from Call of Duty who might decide, you know, maybe I want to play a little bit different game for a few weeks, you know, and pick up Halo 3 or not Halo, Halo 4. Yeah. And, I'm not sure it's going to be for them, but I'm not sure it was
the campaign. No. Well, I mean, you don't even really pick up Call of Duty for the campaign either.
Oh no.
The campaign really sucks.
It was okay. In Modern Warfare 1, it was okay.
Modern Warfare 1 was the best Call of Duty game pretty much to date. Because Modern Warfare 3 was basically a carbon copy of 2, just with new maps.
Everyone's always very soft on COD 4, just because like it was original at the time, and that was before like the milking really began.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they just went crazy with it. After they never expected it to be that popular. Like, I don't think they did. You know, so it was real.
Well, just because it's popular doesn't mean that you go and just make a crappy game afterwards.
Yeah, but I'm not even saying like the crap factor. I'm saying like pandering to their audience, because they knew they had picked up like all of these 15-year-old upper middle class, you know, white kids who think they're gangsters, you know, smoking weed that they bought from their cousin, you know, in the basement of their parents' home. You know, in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1, you didn't have all of the like crazy titles that are pandering to them, like Blunt Force or, you know, Joint Tactics or whatever, you know, like all of these references to like marijuana. They knew who they were pandering to. And I didn't even play Modern Warfare 3, so I don't know how far the pandering went with that. But it's just once you start pandering like that, and the story went crazy too. Just the scale of the crazy stuff that happened in that game, and it got to the point where anything big that happened in that story didn't, you know, resonate with you emotionally because
it didn't carry weight.
It was just, you know, one crazy moment after the other, like in the first Modern Warfare, and this ain't the COD podcast. So I'm just trying to compare COD to Halo and trying to figure out what kind of are COD players going to transition over into Halo 4. I think a lot of them will. I think that there's a lot of overlap there. I think that a lot of COD players are ex-Halo players, and hopefully Halo 4 will bring. Well, not hopefully. I mean, some of those players need to stay in Call of Duty.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have a perfect example of this. Like, I had this friend in high school. I remember talking a couple of years ago on Xbox Live. We were playing Halo 3 together. I think it was like 2008 or something. It was a year, maybe 2009. We were just screwing around in there. He hadn't played it for like years. He was like, oh yeah, I remember I got this when it first came out. And then COD 4 came out like 2 months later. And I was like, screw this, I'm going to go play that now. And it's like, multiply that by like millions, basically.
Well, Call of Duty 4 had a pretty decent gameplay experience. It was just the games afterward just didn't fit the bill that well.
Yeah.
Anyway, Halo.
Yes, back to Halo.
Halo 4, it's coming.
You kind of touched on the point why I think Halo 4 is a lot more appealing to some people, especially from the campaign side of the house, is because you get emotionally connected with the Chief when you play as the Chief. The storytellers for Halo do a really good job of making sure you get attached to the character you're playing. And I think for a lot of people that like Halo, some of their favorite games are, for some people, their favorite game is ODST, because you got even a more emotional experience with that.
Oh yeah.
And sure, in Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're a super soldier that's basically invincible, but there's still that emotional attachment that you get, especially with your companion Cortana. So there's a lot more story development in Halo 4 than there was in Call of Duty, because Call of Duty is basically a war sim, and it's really hard to really get people to tie into those kind of storylines. It works well for like multiplayer stuff, which is why a lot of people get Call of Duty is for the multiplayer. But Halo has that good balance between all the aspects of the game. So the campaign, the multiplayer, and hopefully the Forge and whatever other new stuff that they bring to the table. They do a really good job of balancing it and making the gameplay really worthwhile for those that take the time to sit down and really play through the game.
And I'm not worried about the story. in Halo 4. It's going to be great.
I think a lot of the fan base of like the earlier Halo games, like Halo 2's big multiplayer fan base, and then Halo 3, but before COD 4, I think a lot of the people were people who they really wanted like a Modern Warfare, like military kind of simulator, like just exactly, you know, kind of alike to the real experience, but there wasn't that until COD 4, and like Halo was kind of the closest thing, and that's why they were so into it in Halo 2 and in early Halo 3.
It's possible.
But then it comes out, here it is, this COD, this is what I wanted, this is like actually it, instead of just being close to it, I'm gonna go play this now.
Battlefield 3, though,
is way better.
Is the best military shooter you're gonna get. Battlefield has a very good reputation for being that first-person shooter that's very realistic and military-like. And they've shown that time and time again. Now, their campaign sucks, but that's not what Battlefield is known for. They've always been known for their multiplayer. Whenever they're on the PC, you've never had a campaign experience. And they introduced that with Battlefield 2, I think. But as far as the campaign goes for Battlefield, count that out. Count the multiplayer aspect of Battlefield, and you have a fantastic game in terms of Battlefield stuff. So that kind of wraps up our Halo 4 discussion, I think. So let's get into some of these submissions that we got. We've had submissions piling up, I think, for like the past month and a half now. I don't exactly remember what we or when the last time we did one was, but I'll hopefully my voice won't crap out on me, and I can read through some of these. But at least first one's short, so I'll go ahead and read it. So the first one is from Nemesis TGD, and he writes, "Sorry." Love the Unicy weapons reveal and can't wait for the Covenant and Forerunner videos in the future. Would not mind seeing the vehicles either. I know some players would want to be surprised when they get the game, but I want to know what's coming to kill me. Love the show and the new to me host. The last time I was listening to Podtacular was Fumo Jive and JVB were the hosts, and it's still as good as ever. Also, what does keep on fragging trucks even mean? So, we get that question every now and then, but back around within the first 10 episodes of the show, the hosts were Fumo Jive and someone by the name of Spellcheck. And I don't remember who said what exactly. I think Spellcheck started, but he said, keep on fragging. And then the other one said, keep on trucking. And they just said, keep on fragging trucks. So that's been the classic Podtacular motto for a while now. We keep on sticking with it, and that's kind of where that came from. Brent, I know you stepped back. Was there any other Halo 4 stuff that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. What about that flag sticking to your hand?
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about that? Oh, also having a pistol you can whip out.
So we talked about this on the last show, but from my point of view, I think it's a really cool twist on things because it really enforces the use of teamwork. Having the flagnum in there is a good way to be able to defend yourself, but you can't like drop the flag and whip out rockets to kill someone. It really enforces that once you get the flag, you really have to rely on your teammates to keep you safe. So personally, I think the flag, not being able to drop the flag, is a really cool idea. You'll hear a lot of people complain about it, a lot of pro players complain about it, but I think it really drives home the team aspect, and that's one thing that I think the game should be enforcing is the use of teamwork, especially in an objective-type game. And they've come out and said that they're really focusing on giving you credits for doing the objective-based stuff instead of killing people. So whenever you score a flag, it's like 100 points, and the kill is only 10 points. So in most of the game types, it's going to be a lot more effective to actually play the objective and not play Slayer in every possible game type and be one of those guys, I really just is a killjoy. So I'm okay with it. The auto pickup, Cruel Legacy convinced me on the uses of having the auto pickup, and I've since been converted and like, yeah, it makes, hearing all the arguments, it makes sense to have the auto pickup because now you can't park a vehicle over the flag area and prevent someone from picking it up. So I like that change. And on top of that, 343 has come out and said that they're really trying to make sure the pace of the game is really fast and really active. So the auto pickup and not being able to drop the flag, I think really kind of plays on that aspect as well. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, answers it.
Awesome.
And also, I mean, we live in the age of the patch. If they feel that they need to change anything about the gameplay, and I'm not even talking about like CTF exclusively, just any part of it, like weapon damage and even weapon speed. I mean, we saw, you know, 343 change the game in Reach with the title update.
Well, they've definitely taken back a lot of feedback from people that they've gotten from E3, Comic-Con, RTX, and from people that they've actually had come out to the studio. So there's been some community leaders that have had the privilege to go there and play test along with a lot of pros. So they've definitely had really significant people come in and play test the game to make sure that the Halo experience is going to be one of the best experiences out there. And they 343, since their inception, has been very community focused. So I think what they're going to deliver is going to really fit well in most people's hands. And it might take some time to get used to, but I think a lot of people are going to, once they have time with the game, are really going to enjoy what 343 brings to the table.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I have faith in 343 now. Like, originally, when they first announced that there was going to be this new studio, you know, 343i, and they were going to be in charge of Halo, I was extremely
skeptical.
Not pessimistic. Yeah, just skeptical.
I was too.
I mean, I didn't know. I knew that they had community people that they had brought on, but I didn't know how community focused they were going to be.
Right.
And seeing how community focused they've been, you know, with all of these different events and making sure to keep a conversation with the community going on and taking all that input, it's really given me faith that even if they don't get it right, you know, perfectly the first time. And I mean, they've been doing a great job now. Because they have the community and they take community input, they're going to continue to grow, you know. Because, I mean, they are a new studio. Bungie, before they even started making Halo, had already, you know, finished the Marathon series. They had finished Myth, all of these different games.
Ganop.
Yeah, Ganop, the very first one. So, I mean, they weren't really new, like, that was their first game. Halo was
right.
One of their...
But they weren't expecting Halo to be a blockbuster.
Oh, no, but I'm saying that they weren't... I mean, the development team as a whole knew each other. They had worked with each other. They were comfortable. This is a completely new team. You know, some of the people knew each other, but it's a new team. New people are working together.
Before Bungie made, you know, the huge hit Halo, weren't they kind of like C-lister kind of developer, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, you ask people now, like, some people will say that Bungie's a B-list developer, you know, and then the likes of Valve.
Well, and they make games on the Mac.
Even Naughty Dog are, like, higher list. You know, so.
I mean, I'd say the highest brow you could get of developers is, like, Valve, Blizzard, and, like, maybe Rockstar's up there, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, do you have to... I've enjoyed the games that Bungie has made, and I'm not. I mean, I'm just talking about the Halo game.
I mean, they're kind of smaller in scope than those other ones, I guess, is the point.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I've enjoyed the Bungie games way more than I've enjoyed as a whole, the amount of time that I've invested into the Halo games, the amount of enjoyment I've gotten from the multiplayer. I mean, I've hosted a Halo podcast. I never hosted a Grand Theft Auto podcast. You know, right. And that's a game that. You know, I like that series. I like the Grand Theft Auto series. It's fun to mess around, but I have never invested myself that much in that game as I have Halo. And even with, like, World of Warcraft, now, there are people who have invested a lot of time into Blizzard games, so Blizzard is one of those developers that I really respect as far as making a good game. that's
from
like,
a developer standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to make a well-polished, fun game. Like, I can trust Blizzard to do that. I've kind of lost a little bit of respect for them now that they've merged with Activision. Because I still get the feeling that Activision, you know, wears the pants in that relationship.
That Bobby Kotick is pulling the strings at the end of the day.
And Bungie's with Activision
like
now.
He's the man behind the curtain, you know.
He's the Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah, he's the Wiz.
Well, I mean, Bungie's with them now, too.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not part of that company. They're just publishing under that label.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure how much creative input Activision has. You know, I mean,
they don't have any.
Well, I'm glad. That's what I'm saying. But if Bobby Kotick said, "Hey, Blizzard, work on this game, and I don't want you to work on this one," you know, because this one's going to make more money, they would definitely. It seems like Bobby Kotick has a lot of input into what Blizzard would do.
Yeah. Well, it seems like what they've done is basically they came to agreement. It's like, and this is just from the documents that they revealed from the court cases. But it's like, it's a certain type of game, and they, like, will deliver every 3 years or so.
Yeah.
So.
But.
It's, I mean, they did a good job with Halo, and good luck to their Project Destiny, whatever that turns out to be.
You don't know what it is?
It's an MMO.
Well, yeah, we know it's an MMO.
I heard it was some kind of sci-fi / fantasy action shooter for like consoles or something.
Yeah, and it's MMO.
Oh, which honestly sounds like a lot like Halo. Like, watch it just be like a Halo MMO, but it's not like Halo, like officially, you know.
People have said that. So,
what was that Halo clone that came out for iOS? Like, I don't
there
remember.
Was a Halo
it, was,
clone
it was like a big
iOS.
Deal. Yeah, it was like a Halo 1 clone.
Tribes Ascend?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't Tribes.
Ascend looks a lot.
No,
like
it was, and it had like a 4-letter title too. It was almost an exact clone. It seemed like, I mean, aesthetically and gameplay wise of Halo, it just wasn't Halo. I don't even remember what the name was.
Was it Ola?
Yeah.
Or Ola?
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 You're kind of making me think of something else. You know, when you're on like YouTube or some, you know, site, and you see those ads on the side, like it's like a Halo 3 screenshot, like click here to play Halo.
Well, this is like pretty popular. I mean, it made like a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised that Bungie didn't like get a court case and, you know, decide to sue them over it, because it was just that similar.
Yeah, and there
was Halo CE. I don't remember the name.
Yeah, and there was some other ad I saw. It was like Halo Wars or something, and it was like, come play, you know, Space Marine battles or something. It was absolute garbage.
Doing a quick Google search, does Nova sound familiar?
Yes, Nova. That's right. The one. Yeah, see, it even has a 4-letter title. I mean, come on! I mean, make it a little bit different. At least pretend like you're not just...
Copy-pasta?
Ripping off Halo.
Yeah.
Copy-pasta.
Copy-pasta. But, yeah. Anything else from PAX you wanted to talk about?
Nope.
All right. Back to the submissions then. So I read mine. Daft, you have it up yet?
Oh, sorry, I was busy.
I'll read.
All right.
Freaking out.
Ghost Chili.
Ghost Chili says, "Hey PodTac, Ghost Chili here. Haven't submitted a lot before, but I've been listening for a very long time, back to when JVB and Fumo Jive were the hosts. I'm just here asking what you guys think of the gun sounds in Halo 4. I remember Duststorm said that they sounded suppressed, and I agreed with him in a way, but as I watch more gameplay, I'm really liking the new sound design for weapons. What do you guys think? I also want to ask you guys on tips for starting a podcast, because I want to do something with my friends when school starts, but it's a big maybe. My main question for that is, what kind of recording equipment do you use, such as a mic and the program used? It's something I want to start because of my passion for gaming and desire to share my opinions with anyone willing to listen. Shout out to ReaperVX on the forums for giving me a free 60-day on EVE Online because I'm just starting out. Thanks for reading. P.S. Sorry, I'm not in the desired category of topics for the show."
Nope, those work just fine. But yeah, we talked about the sounds before, and just to kind of add on to what I said, the sounds are going to be one of those things where once the game comes out, you're really not going to notice unless you actually pay attention to the sounds. Like, you'll be able to tell what sounds are from what weapons, but when you're in the heat of battle, that kind of is really the only thing that matters, is just being able to discern sounds, not kind of how they sound. So, I mean, yeah, it'll be one of those things where it's like, okay, it's just how it is. But
no, Dustin, this is going to be the difference between a 7.0 and a 10.0 on Metacritic, okay? People are going to lose their jobs over this.
I don't think the sound design is going to make or break a game that much.
It's going to make or break this game.
So another for starting a podcast, all we use is Skype. There's a program called MP3 Skype Recorder that we use. I could record Audacity Local, and I take the MP3 Skype Recorder for all the other people, mix it down in Audacity. In terms of microphones, as long as you have a good headset mic that can, and you can get rid of a lot of background noise and be able to filter a lot of that out, then you're pretty much set. You can get cheap ones, like cheap $20 ones at Target or Walmart or something. Or some people that we have on even just use the Xbox headsets. So they'll plug their Xbox controller into their computer, plug their headsets into their controller, and just use that. And for a startup podcast, the mics actually don't sound that bad. So hopefully those give you some tips out there for doing that.
You're going to need studio mics, a mixer. You're going to need your own professional like sound guy.
Yeah, get like a nice big drum machine too.
Yeah, you're gonna need a fog machine.
I'm not sure what the fog machine would do, especially since
video a podcast.
Well, if you're doing a vidcast, sure. But this is a podcast.
Yeah, you're gonna need a. No, I'm saying go all out. If you're gonna do a podcast, you go all. You know, I mean, video podcast is the way to do it nowadays.
Are you trying to say something there, Brent?
Yeah, I'm saying video killed the radio star. You know.
I fought the vid, but the vid won?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Daft, do you want to take the next one?
From Duty Bound?
No. Cloud Massacre.
Oh, I was looking at the wrong Ghost Jelly one.
Oh, he has two of them in there. I didn't even notice that before. Damn. All right.
Cloud Massacre says, "Dear Podtacular, I've been a huge fan of yours since I found out you were talking about Halo 4. I have three subjects I think you would all like to discuss about. First, in the book Contact Harvest, which was released in 2007, it talks about the railgun. Why do you think Bungie didn't have it in Halo Reach? Second, how cool do you think it would be if in Halo 4 there is a Promethean equivalent to a Hunter? And third, what do you all think Forward Unto Dawn will be rated, PG-13 or R? Thanks for reading." So I guess we'll start with the Contact Harvest thing.
So yeah, there did mention a railgun in Contact Harvest. I don't know. Ask Bungie. as far as not putting the railgun in there, I think because we didn't see it in any of the other Halo games was probably a good compelling reason why they didn't put it in Halo Reach. That'd be my guess.
Maybe they just got lazy.
And the railgun. I may have this wrong, but if I recall, it was more or less like a prototype weapon. It wasn't mass produced on a big scale. So by the time Halo Reach rolled around and Halo 1, 2, 3 and all the other ones, it probably wasn't as bit or widely of a used weapon. And then probably with Halo 4, it started to become mass produced. So that'd be my reasoning behind it. What do you guys think? Thoughts?
I think I'm waiting for the Halo 4 nail gun.
The nail gun.
The nail gun.
They actually had a nail gun weapon in the Fallout New Vegas DLC, Lonesome Road. They had a nail gun, and it was really effective. Like, it killed, you know, humanoids like really fast.
Really?
It was amazing. Oh yeah, it was awesome.
I find that
you
interesting
only find
because
it like once, and it runs out of ammo pretty fast You find it right before this area where there's tons of enemies, so you know, kind of runs out pretty fast, but it is a really amazing gun.
And that's weird, because they did a Mythbusters thing about using a nail gun like that, and they found it was non-lethal, like barely effective at anything more than like 3 feet away.
I don't know. I mean, it's Fallout. It might have been like a super nail gun or something.
Alien powered nail gun.
Yeah, pretty much.
Question
Halo
number 4 two.
Potato gun.
Well, it's pretty much the grenade launcher.
It's like a PVC pipe and a can of hairspray. Lighter.
That'd be awesome. Second question. Equivalent to a hunter. No, it would suck because hunters suck. Except in Halo 3. They were a lot easier to deal with in Halo 3, but Halo 2, they were a pain. Halo 1, you just shot it in the back once with a pistol or a sniper and they were dead. It'd be cool from a standpoint of maybe story, but so like some kind of Promethean tank, but no. I would not necessarily want to see one in there. And I think 343 has also come out and said pretty much that the three Promethean enemies that we have, so the Crawler, the Watcher, and the Knights, I think that's the final list. Now, there are classes amongst those.
Mm-hmm.
Like some will be allies. Like we've seen different colors. Like some are blue, some are the orange. And I think they've mentioned that there's a few other colors, but they haven't gotten to specifics. But there's classes of Promethean, the Prometheans. I'll just call them Prometheans. But I think those three are the only ones that we're going to see. And I think they've said that officially somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where, though.
Yeah, they were talking about that on, I think it was like an Inside, you guys know Inside Gaming on Machinima?
Yep.
Yeah, they were talking about, I saw a video, they were talking about that the other day, all the Promethean types, like the different kinds of knights and the different kinds of, like, crawlers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said all the different forms had something to do with, like, all the different flood forms, and there was some kind of, like, canon thing or something, but they didn't really go into it. My guess is, I guess the Forerunners would probably construct, like, specific Prometheans to, like, counter specific flood forms.
Uh-huh.
Probably. I mean, it's makes sense.
Yeah. But I think the three that we have now makes a pretty good set anyways. Because we only had, let's see, in Halo 1 and 2, we only had the three different types of flood. We had the infection form, the carrier form, the combat form. So I'll see why we can only have three Promethean types either. So that's just me. Next one. What do you think about Fortnite not being rated PG-13 or R? I think it's going to be rated. I want to. Well, so the age gate, having the age gate on there, I think probably rated R. Because a lot of killing and other stuff, I think, is going to be in there. So I'm going to say rated R. And that's primarily because Halo is a rated M game. Depending on the content in there, it could be PG-13, but my gut feeling says rated R.
Rated M for man babies.
All right. I'm going to take the next one here from Cody. He writes in, "Hey, Potac, just signed up on the forums and I'm really enjoying the show. I'm wondering if you guys are going to talk about the specialization soon." Well, we already did. Like, which one will you start with? There's also been talk of two-tone visors and green smoke grenades. I'm not sure why Duststorm dislikes weapon sounds. I got my computer hooked up to my home theater system, and they scare my cat away. Reach's weapons never did that. Okay. I'm not sure if scaring a cat is a viable measurement of whether or not the sounds are cool or not, but if you say so.
Sounds like... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say for specializations, have you even seen the list, Brent?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I've seen it. I posted the official thread on the forums for the specialization.
All right.
As you can tell, I'm well versed in these special.
So which one would you start with?
Yeah. Rogue, probably.
What's
because you get the stability mod, which means you can zoom in and you won't get taken out if you get shot.
All right.
So I'm just gonna be BRing people everywhere. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, pinging me back.
Yeah.
Take them down.
For me, I'm not sure which one I go with, because it'll really be based on how my gameplay pulls out in Halo 4. Like, how I really kind of get a feel for the game. Like, for Halo 2, for some reason, my sniper in Halo 2 is the best out of all the games I've played for Halo. So that's where the Rogue would come in, really handy. But there's some of the other ones, like the being able to take more damage in vehicles, the being able to carry more grenades or more ammo. But do you know what the ammo one is off the top of your head?
The what?
The ammo related.
Ammo related?
Yeah. I forget.
I don't remember reading about an ammo one.
I thought there was. Maybe it's just the grenades.
Yeah.
But I thought there was one that you had, like, an extra clip or something for your specializations.
Let's see, there's...
Or for one of the specializations, that is.
Wetworks, Pioneer, Engineer, Tracker, Rogue, Stalker, Pathfinder, and Operator.
Hmm.
The...
I don't know then.
Yeah.
So, and I have the list up now, thanks to Brent. So, probably the one I would go for if my DMR, BR, and Sniper, if I can really jive with those, probably, the stability
Rogue.
One? Yeah, Rogue. Yeah. So, probably that one. If not, Wetwork seems like an interesting one, the stealth one.
Yeah.
Although I'm not really a stealthy person. I'm kind of one of those that kind of likes to go out guns a-blazing, even though I shouldn't do that. But, that would be an interesting one, I think, for a lot of people.
Pioneer will, doesn't really help you in gameplay, but gives you extra experience.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people.
I think that would be the de facto one for a lot of people is the Pioneer, because it just gets you the experience. Yeah.
And people like that XP. They like seeing those numbers go up.
Indeed. So that kind of be like the fallback, I think, for just about everyone.
Engineer seems interesting. You get to see when weapon drops are coming in before other people do.
Yeah. That would be. I think that's more effective in the smaller player-based games.
Yeah.
So for things like the 5v5 CTF or maybe 4v4 Slayer or Oddball or something, I don't think it'd be very effective in big team. But that's just me. And it depends on when Halo 4 comes out. So,
Well, big team, Operator and Pathfinder are going to be the big boys on campus, I think, for any map that has a vehicle in it.
That's true. Especially Operator. Operator's going to be huge.
Imagine having a tank with an Operator in it and a Pathfinder on the turret. You know, it's like, it's going to be nuts.
That is interesting. Wow. You've really thought about this, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Alrighty.
The cooperative aspect of
Very
Operator
nice.
And Pathfinder.
Very nice. Maybe we should have another specialization show with you featured in it when Halo 4 comes out.
Yeah.
All right, you want to take the next one? Tetrahedrite.
Yes. Tetrahedrite says, need things to talk about in regards to the end of episode 304, specializations. As I'm sure you're aware, Waypoint's latest bulletin goes in detail to what they are and stuff. I'm really excited about them and I'm eager to know what are your and the rest of Podtacular members' thoughts are. I think they are a great way to extend the endgame. I pre-ordered the limited edition, so I'm probably going to start with Rogue because of the armor mod. the different progressions and what you unlock give us probably the biggest glimpse to the armory to date. I remember on previous episodes, lots of mixed feelings have been surrounding the new creative outlook on the armor, but between the armor and the skins for your Spartan and your weapons, I think they look pretty cool. I will admit that it doesn't look like previous Halo games, but to me, it makes the game look and feel more sci-fi, which I think is a major plus. And I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a completionist, so I'll probably try to progress through all of them.
There's one thing between, like sci-fi kind of fantasy-like and sci-fi realistic.
Yeah, there's like a difference between like...
And I think some of the patterns for the Spartan, for the armor skins and just some of the helmets are just really out there in terms of like believability. Sorry, what were you saying, Brent?
Well, I was saying like it's a difference between like, say, an EVE Online aesthetic and then Phantasy Star Online. Like Phantasy Star Online is fantasy sci-fi, just crazy... you know, outfits, kind of, you know, bright colors, neon, and the stuff that they kind of got going on with the new armor sets. A lot of these look like you would, like, kind of what you would see on a cast or a robot in the Phantasy Star universe. So, I mean, they really do.
Yeah, and yeah, some of them are just weird. One of them is like a Splinter Cell kind of looking one.
Yeah, that Pioneer one is strange to me, like, the mm-hmm. middle of the helmet just has this big circle on it. So, like, I don't know where you look out of it or...
Well, I think that's one of the ones where it's like, it takes in the video feed and it puts it up on an internal display like Iron Man.
Yeah. They should have just brought in a promotional Iron Man Spartan suit.
That would be interesting. Daft, you want to take the next one?
Sure. Which one? Which name? Sorry.
Ghost Chili Second.
Oh, the one I originally.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Podtech, I got a lengthy submission because I heard you guys haven't had many in the recent past. I have four main topics. My first is actually from the forum, so I'm just going to post what I posted about the so-called Promethean sniper and my thoughts if anyone's seen it. Yeah, I don't think that's a sniper rifle at all. The Promethean is holding it so low, if it had a scope, you would think the butt of the rifle would sit in the shoulder slash armpit area, but the Promethean is holding it at what appears to be the waist area. It could be the camera angle and overall quality and design that factors into my thoughts, but that's my two cents. I think it's a heavy weapon of some kind. And if you think about the radar and positioning of enemies, a sniper would probably be the farthest away from his or her friendlies, and the radar shows two other heat signatures. So I would think they are foot soldiers over snipers. If you recall enemy sniping in the past Halos, the snipers tend to be single enemy sniping from a distance, like one jackal on a cliff or something. The background and other enemies do not fit the typical mindset of AI sniping, but 343 isn't Bungie, so it can be a sniper for all you want. My second topic is the name of the song Green and Blue, which I think is Cortana in chief because green armor and blue hollow Cortana because you guys discussed it last time. Third topic, what's Marty O'Donnell doing now and why is 343 not using him for the soundtrack? And my fourth topic is, the music kind of sounds similar to Mass Effect soundtrack over the years. Thanks for reading. Sorry if you didn't want a lot of stuff to read and talk about. That's okay.
It works for us.
Promethean Sniper. Let's handle that.
So I did not get a chance to get my hands on it. It's called the Binary Rifle. Binary Rifle. Sorry. So, I didn't get a chance to play it. Some other people got to play it, and it's basically the Promethean Sniper. You get killed with it, you incinerate just like with any other Promethean weapon. I haven't had a chance to watch any videos of it. There's actually very few gameplay videos of people using it. But as far as I know, it works just about as well as any other sniper. I mean, body shot takes out pretty much takes out your shield and a good chunk of your health, and the headshot is instant death, of course. Second topic, makes sense. Green being the chief, blue being Cortana.
Yeah.
Someone else mentioned that as well somewhere. I think it was in one of the comments of the podcast that we actually talked about the soundtrack. And maybe it was Ghost. Maybe he was the one that posted it. I'd have to go back and check. Third topic, Marty
is a Bungie person, so he stuck with Bungie. That's why 343 is not using Marty. Fourth topic, Mass Effect. What do you guys think?
I really enjoyed the sci-fi.
Well, he was saying that the music sounds like Mass Effect.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
They're both like sci-fi epics, right? So.
From my standpoint, the music definitely has a unique style to it. It doesn't really feel Halo or feel really similar to anything else. One thing that I've noticed and a lot of other people noticed, it sounds very much like a soundtrack to a movie instead of like an actual game soundtrack that we've gotten with the past Halo games. And I'm really interested to see how well that actually plays with the game. Because there's a lot of questions of whether or not that this new style of music, how it's actually going to kind of pull the player in. And I have a feeling it'll fit with the situation, but Marty's music just had a way of really playing to the emotion of the moment in the game. And it didn't feel like a movie soundtrack at all, but for some reason this does.
Well, also, Marty worked on every Halo game. I mean, Halo 1 had a fantastic soundtrack, but then he just kept working from there, and it just got better and better and better. No. I mean, there's one thing you can say about the Halo games, like the quality of different Halo games. People debate which one's their favorite, you know, which had the best gameplay. But I don't think anybody's going to say that, like, Marty O'Donnell's soundtracks for any of those games, like, it was significantly better or worse than any of the other ones.
Well, so let me put this out there as an example. From Halo 1, 2, and 3, you had a very familiar, like, opera orchestra-type feel for Halo.
Yeah.
And it was very iconic. But when Marty O'Donnell did Halo 3 ODST, it was very different. But yeah. It still felt Halo. And
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though, is he had been working on the Halo games for mm-hmm. so long that he knew mm-hmm. kind of
right.
the thematics of the Halo series. Like, it was uniform because he was the guy. He's the music dude.
Mm-hmm. And so, to Neil Davidge's credit, he's has really big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think he's done a good job making a good soundtrack. It's just, and it's definitely a new trilogy, so it opens doors to have a new quote-unquote Halo 4 sound. But from listening to the samples that we've got, it sounds like a movie soundtrack instead of a game soundtrack.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm basically just saying with every composer, you're going to get a different sound. I don't think they could have asked anybody to say, look, we need you to be exactly like Marty O'Donnell, okay? You need to... When it needs to be exactly like this is how you're going to do it. I don't care about what you've done in the past and mm-hmm. your own creative style, because I mean, that's the thing. You want to bring your own creative style to whatever you're doing. And this is a new composer. Right. He's trying to make his own mark on the franchise, you know? So people need to remember this ain't Marty's game. He ain't working on this.
Nope, not anymore.
I mean, I love Marty, but he's working on Destiny, you know? So, if you want some more of that fantastic Marty O'Donnell music, you're going to have to wait until the MMO comes out.
Which is, I think, next year?
Have they even announced any, like,
well, it was in the, It was in the court docs that got released.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think 2013 was actually the first release date.
Yeah.
So, all right. Brayton, you want to take the next one since it's a long one?
Yes. Thank you. Forgive me the long one.
Well, the next Duty one's Bound long, too, so Daft has to deal with another long one.
Well, I can get all of them done, too. I know that you've got a sore throat, so I'll just go down the list.
Daft to the next one, and I'll do two short ones down there.
All right, Duty Bound says, hey, guys, just wanted to make sure that you caught this, but there's a new video on Halo 4 that I saw on GameSpot titled Halo 4, A Hero Awakens. I saw it about 50 minutes ago. It gives quite a few hints on the storyline, so there is a spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't want to know much. They shouldn't watch it. What I thought about it was at 7:12, 7 minutes, 12 seconds into the video, the really creepy music starts. And it's when they are talking about Cortana, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that's part of Cortana's theme in the game. It sounds like the music is slightly twisted and out of sync with how it should sound.
If I can drop a hint, it's Rampancy.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they even kind of alluded to that stuff in Halo.
Well, they've already talked about Rampancy. You know? Yeah.
Because, I mean, Cortana, just as a level, was pretty creepy itself, you know? I mean,
yeah. I mean, no offense to the guy, and I'm not trying to belittle you or anything, Duty Bound, but it's like, if you've played the game, you know that Cortana's going rampant, and that, I mean, if you watched the movie and if you're a Halo fan, you would have picked up immediately on that music being related to her rampancy.
Yeah. So I don't want it to sound like we're just ganging up on him, though, like.
Right. No. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she's going rampant.
She's going crazy.
Yep. Going on with the letter, just like how she is becoming rampant. We find out that she is yelling at the chief, probably the captain and another officer on the Infinity, when she says, "I won't let you leave this planet!" What I find most interesting is her immediate apology by saying, "I didn't mean to do that." But by far the biggest thing that I thought was interesting about the whole video was when Cortana said, "It's the Forerunner symbol for Reclaimer." She says it when on the Infinity, which of you remember from the trailer, the symbol that everyone keeps talking about was shown on the Infinity's view screens. I believe Cortana tapped into the Infinity and that same symbol was it. It could be wrong because I have yet to read the Forerunner trilogy, but I'm going to stick to that theory. I can't wait for this game.
I'm not that far in the book, so I can't answer it either. Unfortunately. Well, that symbol, we think is possibly whatever's controlling that sphere. And there's a lot of theories go around. I think one of the big ones is Mendicant Bias. So there's that dialogue in the Halo 3 terminals. And so there's the big assumption right now is Mendicant Bias. And I'm currently working my way through the book, so I'll know more once I get there. I am about 2/3 of the way through Contact Harvest. I should be finishing it this week and starting on the Cold Protocol this weekend. So, once we get there, we're going to be doing a lot of Halo lore shows leading up to it. There's a couple of people that I talked to at PAX who are interested in doing those kind of shows. So we'll definitely be getting into those things as Halo 4 gets closer in the time set of October.
My body is ready.
But is the mind.
That was a... Did you get that? The reference?
I know it's from something. I don't know what it's from, though. Not off the top of my head.
It was from the E3 where Nintendo announced the Wii balance board. And,
oh, really? I thought it was from something else.
No. Reggie Fils-Aimé was on stage, president of Nintendo of America. He got on the balance board and said, "My body is ready."
Talk about corny.
It's persisted, you know? I mean, every E3, somebody breaks out the "My body is ready" picture of Reggie.
I guess.
And I mean, back then he was just president of marketing. Or like chief head of marketing or whatever, and now he's the president of NOA, so good job, Reggie.
All right.
Everybody loves Reggie, as far as just like being one of the better E3 announcers. Because, I mean, look who Xbox have. We've got the Matrick guy.
Oh, you know, I mean, Dan Matrick.
Yeah.
You can tell he's reading from a script. It's very... He rubs me in a really weird way.
Yeah. He's just a little bit less scummy looking than Bobby Kotick. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, Roger Moore needs to... Not Roger Moore. Peter Moore. Roger Moore was James Bond. Roger Moore needs to be the announcer for Xbox next year. There you go. Bring it on, James Bond.
All right.
Actually, now that I think about it, he might be dead. I don't know that much. Yeah, I think he's dead.
Well, way to kill it.
No, he's not dead. he's 84 years old, so Sir Roger Moore,
wow.
Congratulations on living this long and being James Bond.
Very nice. Dash, you want to take the next one?
Sure.
DJ218.
Okay.
DJ218, sorry.
I've never called in or posted anything on the site, but I've been a listener since around Halo 2, so I'm very aware filling the shoes of Fumo and JVB must have been a daunting task. Being the huge Halo fan that I am, I've read all the books, played all the games, and very knowledgeable about the entire universe. I get kind of annoyed that you guys don't know all the canon or have read all the book. It takes a lot of time that most of us don't have. But it's not enough to get upset at you guys and make personal attacks. I'm a respectful gamer, and I'm just glad I get to hear people talk about Halo on the comfort of my iPod. And yes, Daft would get under my skin from time to time about his political views, but I'm sure that's a big part of his life. I'm a huge fitness guru, and I love to talk about it. I get it. I choose to listen. It's not like it's mandatory, because I like to hear people talk about Halo. And Daft, I respect how you dealt with the apology. It took some guts. I hope you stick around and don't give in to all the negativity. I'm a little harder on you guys than most Halo podcasts, because I'm a veteran of the show. And like it or not, it is the unofficial Halo podcast. Lol. Keep on fragging. Keep on fragging, and here's my gamer tag. If you want to play one of these days, I would like to get in on some community stuff. Take care, fellas.
Well, there is the Monday Night Matchmaking.
Monday Night Combat!
Monday Night Combat! That came out weird. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm working on reading the books, and it's one of those things we've gotten flack for, and I mean, rightfully so, in my opinion, and we are the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, so we should be knowledgeable about that kind of stuff, but my goal is to get all the books read by the time Halo 4 comes out. Working on that through Contact Harvest. Once I get through Cold Protocol, then I'll be halfway through the books that are out there. Wow. I'll have the two Evolutions books to read. I'll have the two Greg Bear and Karen Travis books that are out as well. So, getting there, working on the way.
We need to write our own non-canon Halo book on the forums.
Oh, gosh.
Like, that sounds like a fun game. You know, we never have enough stuff to do in the community, so maybe I'll start that. I'm not sure how well it would work.
Someone started their own kind of fanfic once, way far back in the day.
Yeah, but we need, like, a collaborative, like, just crazy...
Well, of course.
Completely non-canon, like...
Indeed, indeed.
Sounds fun to me, I don't know.
Alright, I'll read the next two since they're nice and short. Brandon Purple Hayes writes in, "Hey guys, just wanted to start off by saying I love the show and keep doing the great work. I have a question about the multiplayer in Halo 4, and I wanted to get your opinions on it. Do you think in Halo 4 there will be an Infinity playlist where it has game modes with new weapon drops besides Infinity Slayer, like Infinity Objective, Infinity BTB, etc.?"
Maybe. Probably.
Likely. Very, very likely. There's definitely a classic style that they've said they're going to play to, and then a new set of game types. And Regicide is one of those that fits into your quote-unquote Infinity playlist. So if you guys don't know what Regicide is, it's kind of like Juggernaut in a way. There is a bounty on the leader's head, and if you kill the leader of the game, you get the bounty. But other than that, everyone you kill is just a regular default 10 points. But the bounty goes from 15 all the way up to 35 in 5-point increments. So... But yeah, there's definitely going to be game types that fit the classic Halo style and game types that fit the new players playing style in Halo 4. Redeemed Spartan 05 writes in, "Hey Potek, I have a question for Dusty." Yay. "Since you got to play Halo 4 at PAX, I think that Haven appears similar to Guardian, but I haven't heard anyone make a connection. Did it feel similar in playstyle to Guardian?" Funny thing, I never played Haven, so I honestly can't answer the question from experience. There are certain aspects that seem very Guardian-like, and there's actually been other people that have brought up the Guardian aspect of Haven. There are definitely a few key differences, like the fact that there is the half the symmetric half pipe all the way outside, and it's very more structured compared to Guardian. But there are very similar feels to Guardian on Haven. I will give it that. And is the hard light shield invulnerable? And if it, and if not, could it stop a Warthog or rockets? Anyways, keep on the good work in Fragonus Trucks. The hard light shield is not invulnerable. It actually does take damage. So as you take damage with the shield, it gets weaker. And if you basically get hit dead on with rockets, you'll still have all your shields and health, and the hard light shield will basically be gone. But no, it's not invulnerable, and you can still take splash damage like under the shield, and people can still shoot you in the foot if their aim is on spot. So it's definitely the replacement for the armor lock, and it's definitely the right replacement. So but no, it's not invulnerable. Anyways, thank you for your questions. Brent, you want to take the final submission for the night?
Yes. Shadow writes in saying, I got one good question, and I really hope you read this. The thing is, since there is going to be Spartan Ops, which will be the addition
grammar
story
check.
Mode after the
grammar
the
check.
which will be the addition story mode after the original campaign? I heard a 343i podcast that said you can jump right into the Spartan Ops, which I think is pretty stupid. It should be locked, and you can unlock it by beating the campaign. It's like Spartan Ops just spoiled the whole thing for you before you get to even beat the story. It's stupid. It should be beat the game, then unlock Spartan Ops to continue the saga. Don't you think so? I hope to hear your opinion and will be astonished to hear this on your podcast. Sorry if it's too long, and thanks for reading what I have to say. Ha 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 ha, later, and I'll post more thinkable things later, Dusk and Dap. You two make a great podcast show.
Imprint. No, I don't think Spartan Ops should be locked, and there are certain aspects of the game where it's you want to just make sure everything is available to the players at launch. You don't want to keep anyone from doing that, because there are going to be people that maybe start playing the campaign and they just want a little bit of taste of everything. So they'll play through a few levels of the campaign, then they'll play a few levels of Spartan Ops, and then they'll play multiplayer for the most part. So yeah, they have said that Spartan Ops is kind of spoilerific, and they have recommended that you do play the campaign before Spartan Ops. I guess one way they could do it would be to leave Spartan Ops locked for a week, but even that's kind of a stretch. So no, I think having Spartan Ops there unlocked at the start is nothing too severe. And if people are really interested in the campaign, then they'll play through the campaign before playing through Spartan Ops. It's as simple as that. What do you guys think?
I think that Spartan Ops should be a piece of DLC that you purchase for 1600 Microsoft points, and you're allowed to play it for a certain amount of time, like 3 months. You have to have your gold. You have to have a gold subscription. If your gold subscription goes out, you can't play it with silver.
Well, you have to have gold subscription already to play Spartan Ops.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You can't play it single player?
You can play it single player, but you still have to have gold.
Wow.
If I remember that correctly. Let me pull up the press brief. Because there's actually an email that
out. That just seems kind of lame, in my opinion. You should be allowed to at least play it single player. Like, I understand gold is for multiplayer. You have to have gold to do anything multiplayer on Xbox Live. But if it's on the disc and you can play it single player, mm-hmm. I don't understand why they wouldn't just let a silver player do that. Because that would be like a good, you know, that'd be like the gateway drug, right? Be like, hey, you like playing Spartan Ops in single player? You know, cough up some money for gold so you can play with your buddies.
Mm-hmm. Online multiplayer and Spartan Ops missions require Xbox Live Gold membership.
Wow. Yep,
that's right.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not going to be an issue for me. And I don't think it's going to be an issue for most Halo players, because obviously they're going to want to play online, but
right.
So they'll already have gold, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you make a good point, but yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. That's how that goes.
To be fair, though, we might be seeing additional Spartan Ops missions as downloadable content in the future. So you might actually have to fork up some MS points, some Microsoft Space Bucks.
Well, so from what we've seen, Spartan Ops episodes 6 through 10 are likely to be DLC, but they're going to be free.
Free DLC?
For the Spartan Ops all the way up through episode 10, yes.
Okay.
Now, there is rumor that, like, maybe in a year's time, they'll introduce more Spartan Ops DLC. And we definitely have the three map packs out there. So if you're not buying the limited edition, which I think if you're a Halo fan, you haven't pre-ordered that already, you should definitely go do that.
Yeah.
But there are going to be the three map packs, priced at 800, well, likely priced at 800 Microsoft points apiece. They've always done it $10. Space bucks. They've always done it $10, and I don't think there's any reason for them to really change that now.
So, 10 is the golden number for DLC.
Mm-hmm. This is why I don't buy Call of Duty DLC, because it's all $15.
Right. You can buy an Xbox Live Arcade game for $15. Like, an entire game that somebody developed.
Yeah, some of those games kind of crappy.
There's a lot of good XBLA games out there.
Yeah, there's some good ones, like Minecraft.
There's some good ones.
Minecraft?
Yeah. I haven't played the XBLA version of Minecraft, but it's the biggest seller. Number one. I think
indeed
it was, like,
it
the number one. Yeah. So, it was, like, within a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job, Notch.
Mojang.
Good job. Notch is, like, swimming in cash right now.
Oh, yeah,
he?
He's set.
He's got, like,
he has to be set for life right now.
He's got, like, a hot tub full of, like, cash. Heated cash.
Heated cash?
Heated cash.
How do you have heated cash?
Are
you burning cash at that point?
Just out of the dryer.
All right. So, thank you guys for listening. Someone did point out that we have an issue with our voicemail. We were using a service that we're not going to use anymore. I'm going to get a Google Voice number, and on the next show, I will announce what that new number will be, so we'll start taking voicemails again really soon. Sorry for you guys who have tried calling in and have gotten the annoying set up your mailbox message. There's a timeout for it, like every 21 days. If you haven't received a call, it removes the number. So that's happened, I guess, again, although I thought I checked up on it recently. But we're going to go with Google Voice so we don't have that issue in the future. And like I said, next week we'll reveal what that number is.
You know what I miss?
What do you miss, Brent?
I miss Captain Crunk narrating the voicemails.
Yes, a lot of us miss that.
I miss Captain Crunk in general. That's a cool dude.
He's still rocking. He does his Soda Pop Journal podcast.
Yeah. I should start listening to that.
Every once
just
in a blue moon.
Just to hear his angelic voice. Once again.
They talk about comics, they talk about movies, they talk about some video games.
Those vidges.
Mm-hmm.
Did you finish that vidge game tape?
Finish what?
Did you finish that vidge game tape?
No.
Did you beat it?
No.
You know, tighten up the levels on
I don't beat
tighten up the graphics on level 3. I need to find that commercial on YouTube. It's just funny to me for some reason. Just hilarious.
Hilarious. Alright. Yes, we also have Monday Night Matchmaking, like we mentioned before. Last 2 weeks I have not been home, and the other people have kind of dropped the ball, so next week I should be back, and we'll be hosting it again. We have our forums, so if you're not a member there already, head on over to the forums on our website. It's at podtagular.com, so go register, join up with some of the discussions that we're having about Halo 4, some other games that we like to play, like Minecraft, Battlefield, all that good stuff.
Tales of the Abyss 3DS. That's what I've been playing.
Pokemon.
Like, I posted a thread about it in the forums, and nobody plays these games, so I had zero responses. And the only response I got was Painkiller writing in to tell me that he was sad he didn't have a 3DS.
Aww.
And that made me sad.
Aww.
I think everybody in the Podtacular community needs to get a 3DS as soon as possible. And we all need to play Mario Kart 7 online.
Mario Kart 7? Is that what they're up to now? Dang.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the actual... that's the title of the game. It's not Microsoft 7. it's not Windows 7.
It's not 3DS. Windows 7.
No, it's Mario Kart 7. I'm trying to think. There was Mario Kart, the original one, for Super Nintendo. I think there was only one on Super Nintendo. And then there was Mario Kart 64.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Mario Kart Double Dash. There was Mario Kart Super Circuit. There's Mario Kart DS. There was Mario Kart Wii. And I guess it's number 7. Maybe I'm missing one, so...
Yeah, close enough. If it says 7, then we'll believe it's 7. All right. I don't know. I haven't really had any reason to get a 3DS. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Right.
So thank you guys for listening. Brent, hopefully we'll see you on regularly.
Well, I hope so. Anytime you need me on, anytime that you think that I won't annoy the listener base.
You should just replace G Lewis, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I hate replacing people.
Now that we're kicking G Lewis out, it's just like he's never around, so you might as well just be the third guy for now.
Yeah.
You're just making your comeback. We'll put it that way.
Well, I'm good at being a third wheel.
Oh.
Tricycle.
Right. We love you, Brent. We love you.
I feel like you kind of look like G. Lewis anyway.
Not really.
No. They,
guy with black hair, you know, glasses.
Yeah, but G. Lewis is more muscly than me. He's got a little more meat on him.
That's true.
Kind of skinny, you know. Got contacts now. I think G. Lewis has contacts.
Does he?
Whenever I saw him, he always had his glasses on, but I think he's got contacts.
I mean, the only time I saw him was at Dallas.
Yeah.
MG Dallas. Which I'm going to this year.
Cool.
We're going to try to. So that is November 2nd through 4th, which is the weekend before Halo 4 comes out. So I will be making Halo 4 videos probably throughout the entire weekend. And then I'll be heading to New York for the launch party.
So you're heading down to the Big D and then you're heading up to the Big Apple.
Mm-hmm. Indeed I am.
Just party all around the nation. Halo.
Well, I was in Seattle two weeks ago. So, yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, that's a big deal, though. You know, trotting around the nation for a game. I mean, that's significant.
I mean, it's basically like a second job for me.
A franchise so significant that they have events all around the nation you can attend. Big events, too, you know? I mean, they're not like... If I go to a launch party, it's going to be like some like rinky-dink like me and two other dudes at the back of a Walmart while people are like trying to stock and there's, you know, the floor buffer going on in the background.
You should be pumping out Podtacular.
The great thing about a launch party at Walmart is that, first of all, they're used to being open all night. So you got like all of this food available to you. Like it's just right there. You get to watch all of the employees, you know, glare at you. It's fantastic. I've never been to one, but I can only imagine the kind of people who would attend a Walmart launch party are fine, upstanding citizens.
Yes, because it's a Walmart, and it's a prestigious place to buy stuff.
I take it back. I have seen one launch party. I wasn't there, but I when the Xbox 360 came out, that was the only place I could figure I might be able to find one at midnight, and I hadn't pre-ordered it or anything, so
it makes sense.
I went there, and there were a bunch of dudes who had taken some fold-up lawn chairs that they got from the camping section, and had set them out, and they were just chilling. I mean, it didn't look any. They were just waiting for the 360 to come out, and then when it did, they're like, "All right, here's my wallet. You know, here, take all of my money." So, not exactly a party, but more of a waiting ceremony.
No, that's a really polite way to put it.
Who can stay patient the longest?
Mm.
Who can sit down for the longest amount of time for a video game? Of course, it's different.
Well, I mean, so Rukari,
those are actually, go ahead.
I mean, Rukari's known for sitting at launch lines for like hours on end. I mean, he's usually like first to line up at Halo 4 launches. So, I mean, he knows what it's like to sit there for 8-10 hours at a time.
I wonder if there's a world record for that.
Well, so, and talk with him before, some places have like restrictions on when you can start lining up for stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like he arrives there just as it starts to open up or a few minutes before.
And that's what I'm saying.
He's like the first or second person there.
We can make this like a huge event. Think about it. I can get sponsored by 343. I get sponsored by, you know, wherever I'm going to stay. We get the world record dudes out there. I like wait for Halo 4 for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, break the world record. Everybody wins. It's a huge marketing stunt.
You have a wheelbarrow full of like ramen or something.
Yeah.
Water bottles. Yeah, people come bring you stuff.
That's why I can do it in a Walmart. That way they can just buy me stuff right there and bring it to me. I can go get me one of those propane
that
grills.
Is a, yeah, that is a very interesting case you just made right there, sir. All right. Well, anyone else have any other alibis before we wrap up the show?
Alibis or anecdotes? Because never. I ran out of mind. Alibis a long time ago.
my mind's off doing things, ready for bed. Gotta get over this sore throat.
Yes.
So
back in top podcasting condition.
Top podcasting condition.
That's what we need to do. We need to start our own podcasting school. Like the Dust Storm School of Podcasting Excellence.
I'm not sure how many attendees we would get, but well, we could try.
I bet you could get a few.
Possibly.
We could get Ghost Chili.
That is true. Right. Well, if no one else has anything to say, then we are going to sign off. Thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 310 of Podtacular, and we will see you guys next time. Keep on fighting those trucks.
We'll see you.
See ya.
See ya.
Yeah. Bye-bye.